first typed up my notes for the lesson this evening, I wasn't going to give an outline. I thought, well, I'll just let you listen. But then I listened to me read. The more I looked at going over my notes, I think I'm reading a lot of verses here. And so I thought, well, you may want to read along with me or look at a verse ahead of a verse or a verse afterwards or kind of fill in the blanks a little bit. So Friday I just typed a page summary for you, and hopefully you can follow. I know you can follow along, but if you'd like to, you can look at verses ahead or just kind of dwell on something a little longer than what I do, perhaps. But just listen. It's an easy lesson to present. There's just a list of things. I kind of like that kind of lesson. But kind of listen, just seven items better than sacrifice. Or you can look down and see those. I put them in bold print or highlighted them a little bit of what the key word is. But number one is justice, better than sacrifice. Love is number two. Mercy, number three. Knowledge, by the way, those come from the same verse. You'll see the verses repeated. And then number one, two, three, four, five is thanksgiving. Number six is humility. You know, it might be a different word in the verse, but humility. And the last one's obedience, better than sacrifice. By putting the introduction, it doesn't mean that sacrifice is eliminated. It's still good. It's still valuable. Sacrifice certainly has a place in your life and mine, in our worship to God or our offering to God of our life. But he mentions there's something better. Something better. We think about that too. Might be if you're out to eat or something and you look at the menu and you choose one thing and somebody may say, oh, you don't like that over there? No, it's not that I don't like that. It's just that I like this better. And Christine mentioned something about me eating ice cream all the time and says, yeah, I have my favorites, but when my favorite is all out and only hers is left, that I really don't care for. I shouldn't say that I don't care for it very much, but I would eat it last. But I will still eat it if I don't have my favorite in the freezer. See, sometimes, I thought you didn't like this ice cream. No, it's just that I don't have my favorite ice cream. I like this better. But I don't know of an ice cream that I don't like. There's just some flavors I like better than others. So number one, like I say, I'm going to be doing some reading, but you can walk in the follow along and turn to these verses in your Bible or just listen to me read some of them. But number one in Proverbs 23:21, verse 3, it says to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. I mean, again, sacrifice is omitted or eliminated, just there's something better. And that theme is very prevalent in the writings of the prophets. Jeremiah 9:24 says, let him that glorieth glory in this, and here he gives what it is, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. In that list of things that delights the Lord is judgment. Isaiah 1 verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? The purpose of all the sacrifices, says the Lord. I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Problem was, if you take that literally, you'll think God doesn't want any sacrifice. No, it's because of the way they were offering their sacrifices. Almost like a checklist. Oh, God wants a sacrifice. Oh, he wants it three times a day. All right, I got the morning, noon, and night. All right, now I'm going my way. Oh, he wanted sacrifice. But they were going about it in the wrong manner, in attitude. So he finally kind of put, there's something better than just ticking off a list of to-do things. Attitude. So he says, this is what I want. In Isaiah 1, 16 and 17, says, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Micah mentions the same theme. Micah 6, beginning of verse 6. Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord? That's a good question. And what shall I, when I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God, shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Or ten thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And then Jesus takes up the issue of justice with the Jews of his day. And if I should ask you a verse in the Bible about what does Jesus say about justice, or if I use the phrase weightier matters, this verse would come to mind in Matthew 23, verse 23. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment." First on the list, judgment. "Mercy and faith. These you ought to have done, but not to leave the other undone." It's not, when you look at the balance of the two, it's not that God wants one to the exclusion of the other, but he wants both with the right balance. And he's now he's trying to hit our hearts. Sometimes, I haven't heard in a long, long time, but sometimes somebody will walk out the door after a lesson and I'll say, "Brian, you sure stepped on my toes this morning." I say, "Oh, I wasn't aiming for your toes. I was aiming for your hearts." That's kind of what these prophets are doing in Jesus. "I'm aiming for your heart. It's nice that you have the knowledge in your head, but I want you to take it to heart. Take it to heart." So the scribes and Pharisees, they were very careful to give a tenth of the smallest of herbs and the slices. Jesus says, "Oh, you've ignored the weightier matters. But these you ought to have done." That's his lesson. God still places an emphasis on justice and judgment. John 7:24. "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." In Matthew 7, verse 2, he says, "For what judgment you meet, that shall you be judged. What measure you give out, that's the measure that's going to come back." So number one, God wants judgment, better than sacrifice. Number two, Mark 12, verse 33. The scribes, and this is where the story where the scribe comes to Jesus and asks about the greatest commandment. And Jesus replies, "You'll love God and then your neighbor as yourself." And then the scribe says this back to Jesus after Jesus has given that answer of the two greatest commandments. He says, "And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and all the soul and all the strength, and to love his neighbors himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifice." Yeah. So love God, love our neighbors. That's better than sacrifice in this second lesson. We see the importance of love, and if you could recognize these verses in 1 Corinthians 13. The opening verses stresses the importance of love. "Though I speak with the tongues and of men of angels," that's pretty good. Speaking angelic tongues, angels, "and have not love, but you don't have charity, become a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. If you have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, you have all faith." That's pretty good. "You could remove mountains." Oh, but you have not charity or love, it's reduced to nothing. "If I bestow all my goods to feed the poor," wow, that's pretty impressive. "If I give my body to be burned," only do that once. "But if you do it without charity, it's reduced to nothing. That gracious deed, that fine sacrifice, God still puts a high value on love. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Charity. Not that we shouldn't be benevolent and distribute and be kind. We want to have love. Number 3, Hosea 6, verse 6, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So in this verse we have our numbers 3 and 4. The same verse will be point number 4. You see, it was easy for Hosea's people to offer sacrifices and then go their way. That was easy. It was an attitude of, what does God require? Let's do it and get it over with. Let's just do the minimum. Oh, God requires it, I'll do it. Now, all right, now we do something else. That was Hosea's congregation's attitude. So God says, I desire mercy. You think he doesn't want sacrifice? God wanted more than showing, than just sowing the mercy. He wanted them to love mercy. It's in Micah 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly? Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Mercy. Better than sacrifice. So it's another one on the list. God wants us to be merciful. James 2, verse 13. I'll put that one in your notes. For he shall have judgment without mercy that shows no mercy. Be merciful. Number 4, Hosea 6, verse 6. And I'll kind of read through these a little quicker. Since you have the notes, you can study them on your own. But the last phrase of Hosea 6, verse 6, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Again, Hosea's congregation, God had a problem with the people of the land because there was no knowledge. So he says, knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. In Hosea 1, verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. In verse 6, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we have a lot of people that give their lives in benevolence and ministry and service. But when it comes, what do you know about God? Oh, not very much. I just think my religion is a religion of benevolence. Oh, but what about knowledge? I don't know much about the doctrine. That's not my thing. I'm just a benevolent person. Oh, really? God would rather have knowledge than your benevolence. Wow. That's pretty strong. I want knowledge. Requires the same thing today. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Knowledge. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Knowledge. So that's why we are not hesitant to encourage Bible class attendance or Bible reading or assemblies and discuss God's word. Knowledge. Number 5, Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that has horns and hoofs. Wow. Same thing in Psalm 116. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Same thing today. Like David, God is pleased with the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, meaning Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There are a lot of sacrifices we can offer. But one of the best is the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. for you desire not sacrifice, or else would I give it? You delight not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Delights not in the burnt offering, but our humbleness of heart. You see, again, lambs and bullocks and flocks and herds were an easy offering. And then you again remember Micah's words in Micah 6, verse 6. What does God require of you? To walk humbly with thy God. And a list of other things. Humility. In James chapter 4, verses 5 through 10, you can read that one, but it just simply says, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Included in that cachet of verses. And number 7. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, very familiar story. Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, he's speaking to King Saul, the Lord have as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Remember the background of the story? God's word to Samuel to give to Saul in verse 3 of that text says, smite Amalek and utterly destroy all they have and spare them not. You can't misunderstand that. Destroy everything. Spare not. But Saul disobeyed, and he misguided good intention was not pleasing to God. In verse 13, so Saul said to Samuel, he's coming back from the battle, and he's brought back the best of the flocks and the herds and the king. And so in Saul's mind, he says this in verse 13. Saul says to Samuel, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Really? In his mind, he's made justification in some way that what I'm doing is okay. Even though I know exactly what God said, don't bring back anything, spare not. But in my mind, I think this is right and God should be pleased with it. I've obeyed his attitude, I've obeyed the commandment of the Lord. Verse 15, he says, we spare the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to God. Oh, the rest we've utterly destroyed. Samuel gives the final verdict to King to Saul. Verse 28, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day. Verse 30, then Saul said, I've sinned. Verse 31, Saul gives worship to God. Verse 33, Samuel takes the bounty that Saul brought back, takes the sword, and hacks everyone to pieces. Samuel obeyed the voice of the Lord. Whether you like the conclusion of that story or not, Samuel obeyed. Today, God still puts exact or high value on exact obedience. John 8, verse 30, referring to Jesus, says, and he spake these words, Jesus did. Many believed on him. That's a good thing. Many believed. Jesus speaks and many believe. Oh, but the rest of the story. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That speaks to a lot of people today, even in our religious world and those who are not religious. Those that want to give God their sacrifice of praise on their own terms. And they think God should be pleased with that. In other words, God, you need to change your mind. Why don't you think the way I do? And this story says, oh no. The people have it wrong. To obey is better than sacrifice, no matter what your sacrifice is. Philippians 1:25, whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work or the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We do it the way God says. Otherwise, it has significant consequences. Does God desire sacrifice? Absolutely. There's just some things better, some things weightier. So don't take one to the exclusion of the other, but be sure that what you do, we do it with our right knowledge and take it to heart. But I love it. So that's the lesson this evening. Seven items better than sacrifice. Interesting topic. You read the verses surrounding these and kind of do your own study and add to it. I just kind of give you a list to kind of turn your minds to that particular thought process or just theme of something better than sacrifice. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. We're going to do that again this evening. Not a member of the New Testament church, and that's your desire to be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, we can do that also. So let's stand together, sing the song.